As I said, we're going to talk about the intimate truth. And we're in the series Renewing Your Mind. So let's go to Romans 12. First two verses, I'm going to read it in the King James Version and in the Passion Translation. The King James, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And remember, it says that you present. He didn't say he was going to do it. He said, you present your bodies. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Passion Translation. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves. When someone says, I encourage you, it means you're not doing it. And they want you to know you can. That I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Take a deep breath. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit, and here's how, through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Now, when you read what Paul, the Apostle Paul said, the way he said it, it's very easy to come to the conclusion that the people, the Romans, because that's who he was writing to, were not living the way Christians ought to live. You can come to that conclusion, that they were not lining up with God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for them. And it's not just thinking about what's acceptable to God. It's doing what's acceptable to God. And the Romans probably had incorrect thoughts, which results in incorrect actions. And you can't blame what's going on. Someone called me last week and said, so-and-so made me mad. I said, no, they didn't. They said, yes, they did. They did this. And it's, I said, they didn't make you mad. They did what they did, and you chose to get angry. You could have made a different choice. You didn't have to choose to get mad. Like, I knew you were going to say that, then you shouldn't have called me. The reason I'm saying this is you need to understand that what you think is going to dictate to you what you're going to do. See, I had you say this a few Sundays ago, and I'm going to have you say it again. Say a circumstance is never the problem. It's what you think about a circumstance that's the problem. See, one of the reasons I wanted you to say that is because we think that we can have a secret thought and nobody will ever know. Wrong. Sooner or later, an opportunity is going to present itself, and what you've been thinking all that time, guess what? It's going to jump out. And you'll be busted. Proverbs 23, verse 7, the first part of it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you can't think one thing and be something else. You can't think you're a Christian and act like the world. And don't think, see, you, we can put on a front and it will fool some of the people some of the time. But sooner or later, something's going to come out, and who you are, it's like those jars of peanut butter and jelly. You think, I'm just going to get the peanut butter. Sooner or later, some jelly's going to come out with it. No, I didn't say that because I was hungry. Now, Pastor Rick Renner is one of my research sources because, I mean, just the study and things that he does, it's just amazing, at least it's amazing to me. And a couple of weeks ago, I was prompted to start reading, not skimming through, although I skimmed through and found out that book was used. We thought it was new, so someone had things highlighted. But it was good what they had highlighted. But I started reading the book, A Light in the Darkness. It's about Paul's letters to the seven churches. I strongly recommend you read that book. It's not a quick, easy read. It's like a textbook, a reference book. It's good. But during that time, talking about as a man thinketh in his heart. During that time, the Roman Emperor Domitian, I probably mispronounced his name, he was as brutal and sadistic as one could be. He made Nero and the others look like saints. I mean, he came into power by killing his father. That's what he did. He couldn't wait. And during that time, the Apostle John was living on the outskirts of Ephesus. He was living on the outskirts. We saw it, where he was. He was on a hilltop off the beaten path, so to speak, and other Christians of importance would come there and he would meet with them. Now, the Romans knew that, but because he wasn't doing anything really in downtown Ephesus, they kind of overlooked it. Not Domitian. He wouldn't have it. First thing he did was he had himself declared a deity. Because at that time, the Roman emperors, after they died, they were made into gods. Well, he wanted all of that benefit while he was alive. So he made himself a deity and said, anybody that sees him, his image, a statue that he had made, had to bow in deference. And if you didn't, you were either imprisoned, look over here, don't get distracted, they got it under control, you'd be imprisoned, exiled, or killed. And the Roman soldiers, even though the Roman society had this code on how you're supposed to treat prisoners, the Roman soldiers didn't care. They didn't care. And so when Domitian had John arrested and brought to trial, he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. You want to live? Burn this incense to me. What do you think the Apostle John said? Now, mind you, this is the last living of the original apostles. All the others had been violently killed. None of them died of old age. Yeah. Well, John eventually did. But when he refused to do that, Domitian had him thrown into a vat of boiling oil. And everyone was watching, waiting for him. First of all, they wanted to hear him screaming, and they wanted to see him cooked. John said, you're not French frying me. And they witnessed him climb out of a vat of boiling oil unscathed. And by that time, I believe he was around 90, 89, 90 years of age. Gives new meaning to tough old bird, right? But he came climbing out of a vat of burning oil, and Domitian was like, it was stunned. So he did the next best thing that he could do. He had him exiled to Patmos, which was a brutal, brutal place. And the guards on Patmos, whatever the prison guard did on the mainland, take it to the 10th power, because no one was going to Patmos to check on what was happening. But you know how leaders have an inner circle? Domitian was so brutal, his inner circle said he needs to be killed. And they eventually did do that. But when he saw John come out and he exiled John to Patmos, so what's the relevance of that account? What did God do about that quote-unquote anti-Christian behavior by the Romans? What did he do about all the laws that were passed that prohibited Christians from living life as a Christian? What did God do about that? Did he mobilize the people and have them go and protest, waving signs, "I'll be good, I won't say what I'm thinking, but because I'm thinking it, it may slip out"? He didn't have rallies. He didn't do, what did he do? The last remaining original disciple was exiled to Patmos and didn't do anything other than what God told him to do. How did God handle all of that? He called John up in the spirit and instructed him to write the book of Revelation. Why did he do that? He said, write the book and send it to the churches. Why? Obviously, they needed to change the way they were thinking. Obviously, they needed a total reformation of their thoughts. And we're going to just go through it. I'm not teaching on the seven churches. I will at some point in the future, but I'm not today. But we're going to highlight some things that he said, which indicate their thinking was off. So here's all of this injustice, all of these atrocities going on in the world. And God said, the church needs to get it together. I know what you went through, John, but this is what I need you to do. And John didn't say, can you just let me recover from being boiled in oil? Do you know how that feels? And if he said that and God would have answered, God would have said, but you didn't feel a thing. The only thing you felt was my presence. So he was instructed to write the book of Revelation and send it to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And it said that he chose those seven churches because they were the largest and most influential. And so what they did would influence the other churches. So God's basic message, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you and be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. That's Romans 12:2 in the Passion Translation. That's what God was thinking. He said, because that total reformation of how you think, when you start thinking differently, when you start thinking along the terms of what I said, then you'll be able to discern what's my will and what's not. And you'll live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in God's sight. How many of you want that? See, it's not that God didn't care what the Romans were doing to his people. Right now, God, it's not that God doesn't care about COVID and all the other social issues, but he already put something in place for that. The church. Amen. And the answer to the problem is still the same. Church, start acting like the church. No matter what's going on, respond the way I told you to respond. We get caught up in social events. What about the over 5 billion people that are on the road to hell? Do their lives matter? Do their spiritual lives matter? Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We've learned here in this church by our founding pastors, you cannot legislate righteousness. Can't pass laws to make the people right. Proverbs 4, because I already shared with you Proverbs 23, that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But Proverbs 4:23 in the New Century Version holds hands with Proverbs 23:7. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. The New International Version of Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. Listen to what the NIV, how the NIV says this. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything. Everything. So if our heart's not right, our thinking's not going to be right. And if our thinking's not right, our heart's not going to be in sync with God. So it's clearly evident that, yes, the world is out of control. And the answer is for the church to change the way they've been thinking and get back to having the mind of Christ. They have to get back to having the mind of Christ. See, God's message to the church through those letters was not kill, protest, tolerate. That wasn't... His message was get your nose out of the world and back to doing what you were originally instructed, trained, and empowered to do. That's what he said, get your nose out of the world. He said every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the social issues of the world and start doing the things that please his commanding officer. God knew those things. He said back in Genesis, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue. So one of the first things God did was put man in charge of the earth. His man, not Satan's man. So why... Tell your thoughts would come out. Why are we meddling in the world's business? Why are we getting involved in that? When we should have our noses in God's word, doing what he told us to do, because when we do, us. By us, I mean when the church does church, the world changes. When the church does church, the world will change. There's an Italian restaurant pizzeria that we go to. They have a pizza named after me. Call up Pastor Greg. All raw veggies and stuff. It's good, right, Deacon Rosemary? But I walked in there to get food. Okay. And the owner said, Pastor Greg, I want to ask you something. I said, okay. I was sitting at the table. He said, I don't know how to say it because I don't want to sound like I'm being disrespectful. I said, just tell me what it is. He said, what the heck is wrong with your profession? I knew what he meant, but I wanted him to say it. I said, what do you mean? He said, I just read where a group of pastors were talking about they need to kill all the Republicans. He said, I never saw that anywhere in the Bible. And I said, that's what I told him. I said, you won't. I said, that's one of the things we're teaching at our church. We have to get back to being Christians and acting like Christians. But he took note of it. He didn't. He expected that type of rhetoric to come from politicians. And he never expected to see men and women of God stand up in front of people and say, you need to kill. Get your nose out of the world and back into the church. Back to doing it, what you were trained to do. So in the letters, Just to show you that, we're going to be moving quickly because of time. In Revelation 2, we're going to start. I'm going to skim through it. First five verses here is where we're going to start. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, even though you're doing these things right, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He's saying, you don't love me the way you used to. Yeah, you're doing things. Well, if they're doing things, don't they love them? That's like only giving flowers on Mother's Day. If you love them, what are you doing every single day? Every single moment of every single day, what are you doing? Are you only responding to the evil that people do? I don't like it, so I stay away from them. I keep them away from me. How's that going to change their heart? No, we're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're commanded to be instant in season and out of season. That means when it's popular or convenient, and when it's not popular or when it's inconvenient. He says, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He's telling them, change the way you think. Go back to thinking the way you were thinking in the beginning. Revelations 2, church in Smyrna. I know thy works. But verse 10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Had to change the way they think. Why? They were afraid of what they would have to go through. He's telling them, fear none of these things. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Stop thinking about what they're going to do to you or might do to you, and think about what the outcome's going to be for you. radically change the way you think. He that has an ear, let him hear. Pergamos, what about that church? I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, and have taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. So thou also hast them which hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent. Turn from those ways. Change the way you think about them. Or I will come unto thee quickly. He that has an ear, let him hear. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth it. Tell him, you have to change the way you think. What about Thyatira? I know thy works, thy charity and service. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. It means you've been tolerating stuff in your midst. And obviously, no one's speaking out against it. Thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols. So Jesus said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Why are you tolerating this? I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Unless they change the way they think, it's not going to go well with them. See, I'm starting to get it. The church at Sardis. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. This is where in Revelation 3, verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Why is he telling them to repent? Why is he saying remember how you have received and heard, or what you have received and heard? Because they were acting like they forgot. He said repent. Even the church in Philadelphia that was doing practically everything the right way, but they had one issue. They were afraid. They were afraid of what they were going to have to face. They were committed to doing what God said, but they had this fear as to what was going to happen to them because of what they did. Verse 10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He said, so don't you keep doing what I told you to do. I'll keep you from the other stuff. They had to change the way they think. Even in their right doing, wrong thoughts were trying to come in. And this is coming from someone who just climbed out of a vat of oil. Laodiceans. Thou sayest, I am rich, verse 17, and have increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and then sat down with my father. Change the way you think. I don't care what I'm going through now. I'm going to be sitting down at the throne of with my father. And I'm going to think about that. Not what I'm going through. Or what, not how I think it's going to be. Stop seeing yourself as a failure. Stop seeing yourself as a failure. So how do you free yourselves from that? How do you get to the point where you go through a total reformation of how you think? May I show you one way? Turn to John 8, please. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And please don't get caught up on make me free, set me free, you'll be free. But I'm not going racial on you, but this is a great example. The Emancipation Proclamation, I think it was in 1863 when President Lincoln signed it, freeing the slaves. When did the slaves become free? The moment President Lincoln signed it, it was done. The moment it was done, did every single slave walk off freeing? Why not? Some didn't know. They didn't have the type of fellowship with folks that would tell them, you free now. They had just the opposite. You'll never be free. And the devil is holding some of you hostage with your past and some with your present. Because he doesn't want you to know that you were made free, period. But you're not fellowshipping with folks that are going to encourage you to walk in the freedom that you have. You're not fellowshipping with the ones that are going to tell you you're free. You're hanging out, you're reading about, you're watching, you're TikToking, you're doing all these things that talk about what's going on in this world and nothing about who you are in Christ and how you can change what's going on by changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And when we hear that word know, we immediately think about memory. But there's another reason, there's another definition of know. It means developing a relationship. It means spending time with someone. It means being intimate with someone. Adam knew Eve. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and ye shall be intimate with the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You will be intimate with the truth. Spend all the time you can with the truth, becoming connected with the truth, staying connected to the truth. That intimacy with the truth will make you free. Why? Because your thoughts are one of being intimate with the truth, not rebelling against it. If you continue, if you stay intimate, it's because you are indeed my disciples. And you will be intimate with the truth, and that intimacy with the truth will make you free. That's why your church relationship is being attacked. If you get discouraged about your church relationship, you'll start becoming discouraged about your relationship with Christ, because you're going to associate the two. Especially if you believe God gave you pastors after his own heart and you don't like your pastors. You start murmuring to God. You send me to that place with those two knuckleheads. Why? And your freedom mounts up wings like an eagle and just, see ya. When you're ready to be intimate again, call me, okay? Text me, do something. But you start backing away, you're backing away from the truth. Remember when Peter was talking with Jesus near the water? He said, Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to have you apostles for himself. Now listen to this part carefully, folks. He wants to separate you from me. Why? Where there's separation, there can be no intimacy. Where there's no intimacy, there's no truth. So if he can separate you from Jesus, he can separate you from the truth. And once you're separated from the truth, all you have left to operate in are lies. Another reason why the devil wants to separate you from the truth is in John 14, verse 6. There's a truth here that he doesn't want you to know. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. If he could keep you from being intimate with the truth, you won't know that. And you'll get frustrated because you'll be trying to reach God through other means. And the truth is, there's only one way, through Christ. Only one way. The truth is, Jesus is the way and the life. If you're not intimate with that truth, there is no way that you'll have the life that Jesus came for you to have. But there's something else that the devil doesn't want you to know. He wants to keep it from you. John 1. I had to jump up out of my chair a couple of weeks ago when I read this. And I want to do a happy dance every time I read it. Because I saw something. I hope it has the same effect on you. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Think about that statement. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. And look at, I never made this connection before. Look at verse 5. The light shineth in the darkness. Jesus is the light. And that light is the life of men. So men are now filled with the light. Verse, the light, man, shineth in the darkness. The light, man, shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. That light is the life of man. That life, that's the light of man, shineth in the darkness. Where is that light now? In man. And it is supposed, why did he tell man? So let your light so shine. Where'd it come from? Right there. But listen to this. We were designed, I'm going to read it for time. We were designed for the light of Christ to shine in us. The light shining in the darkness is supposed to be the church. And when we shine, the kingdom of darkness can't do anything to stop it, so he tries to keep us from the truth that we are the light. This is what we need to understand. As I said, Pastor Rick Renner, he wrote an expanded version of John 1, verse 5, and you have to listen. Well, I think I sent it to him to put on the screen so you can see it, because it's not published anywhere, but it is so powerful. And the light shined in the darkness, meaning man shined in the darkness. But the darkness simply didn't have the ability to overcome it, take it down, subdue it, or dominate it. The devil doesn't want you to know. He doesn't have the ability to stop your light from shining. So he'll go about trying to get you to change the way you think so that you won't know. That's why you need to stay intimate with the truth. The devil, he knows he doesn't have the ability. It's he knows. And he's not going to want you around people that are going to tell you the truth. So he'll get you hooked up with people, with causes, with organizations, with movements that won't tell you the truth. They'll tell you about a circumstance, but they won't tell you the truth. The Apostle John said, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. That unction comes from intimacy. It comes from intimacy with the truth. If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. You'll have intimacy with the truth, and that intimacy will make you free. So when the devil comes with sickness, you know what to do because you continued in the word and you're intimate with the word. So you know that by the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I was healed. End of story. End of story. Folks, we've been made free. And it's continued intimacy with the word that did it. And that does it. And that maintains it. How do I know that? John 15, Passion Translation. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot yield fruits of itself unless it abides in the vine. So also neither can ye unless ye abide in me. And then I like to read it this way. Let me just get this straight and settled for you once and for all. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, he yieldeth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And I'm going to close. I only have 13 seconds. But I had a question. Why was Jesus always able to be free? Even when people laid hands on him to throw him off a cliff, he was free. They wanted to stone him. He was free. Why? John 10, real quick. Verse 30. John 10, verse 30. You have to look for it. They'll put it up on the screen. Let's read it together. Is it up? Yeah, there it is. Let's read that. I and my Father are one. I and my Father have continual intimacy. So I know everything my Father thinks. I see everything my Father does. Why? We are intimately connected. Therefore, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. That was the message that the Apostle John brought to the seven churches. Change the way you think. Change it, and the world will change. How do you change it? By intimately being connected with the truth. And that intimacy will make you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Voice translation. This time I'm really closing. This is Jesus speaking to the new Jewish believers in John 8. If you hear my voice and abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, or as we were saying for the purpose of this lesson, you will be intimate with the truth, and that truth will give you freedom. Will give you. So when the enemy comes, you're my slave. Or like the children say, nah. I'm intimate with Jesus. He gave me freedom. You're not fooling me like they fooled those slaves way back when. I know I'm free. And I'm going to walk in the freedom that I have. And because I'm free, I am not influenced by whatever that's going on in this world. Why? Because getting interested in that puts me in bondage. Because I wind up being told how to think, being told what to say, being told who I can fellowship with, who I can't. I can't buy my pillow, I gotta buy their pillow. I told you what I think is gonna slip out. But that's what's going to happen. Why? Because we're caught up in that system and we're not hanging out with the truth. We're not being intimate with the truth. We're being intimate, but not with the truth. Not with the truth. So we have no freedom. See, I know I did, but I know. I'm hesitating. God said, you said you'd say what I told you to say. I know what I said. Folks, if you just, when you decide, sometimes intimacy brings forth life. What are you talking about? Sometimes you get pregnant after you're intimate. Spiritually, the same thing happens. You're being intimate with the wrong movements, the wrong programs, the wrong people, and you're propagating life to that wrong thinking. and it does not change the hearts of the people. Doesn't change them from that which is devilish to that which is holy. What it will do is take folks that are on the fence because they don't really know yet and push them off on the wrong side. I'm not saying that social issues don't matter, but they don't matter when it comes to who we are in Christ and what we're supposed to. We don't need anybody outside the church to tell us what we need to be doing about what's going on. We have the creator of the universe who sent his Holy Ghost to guide us into all truth. So why do I need someone outside that to tell me what I need to be doing? The Holy Ghost will tell me. And I stay wrapped up. I stay intimate with the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. You're free. Jump to your feet and shout, I'm free. No more shackles. No more chains. No more bondage. I am free. How many of you want to dance the dance of freedom? Well, first I have to say goodbye to those online. We can't dance the dance. Be seated. We have to do altar call. We don't need to break any rules. But as I've said, or I should say as the Holy Ghost has said through me today, we need to be intimate with the truth. Now, you can't be intimate with someone you're not with. You can't. You have to be with that person. It's no different. You want to be intimate with the truth, you have to be connected to the truth. How do you get connected to Jesus? You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. You're saved. You're connected. Okay, I got that, Pastor, but how do you do that? Very simple confession. You talk your way into it. You confess for your way. Just like I said, you confess with your mouth. You confess with your mouth that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and went to hell, and after 3 days in hell, God raised him from the dead. You confess that. You tell Jesus, you invite him, come into my heart, come and let turn into Marvin Gaye, let's get it on. I'm saying it that way so you'll understand. In order for that to happen, you have to invite him in. So let's do that. Everybody, even out there in cyber world, say, Father God, I believe that you're God, and I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place, and after 3 days in hell, I believe you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn towards you and I'm asking you, come into my heart, into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance and I turn towards you. I connect with you. I want to be intimate only with you. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, the Bible says if you said that with your mouth, what you just did, and you believed it in your heart, you just got born again. So what's left? Getting information to you to let you know who you just become and what all of that means. So if it's online, please send us a message. Say, I'm born again now, and follow the contact information. We'll get that information to you. If you're here, raise your hand or stand where you are. I want to send you with our deacons, elders, or ministers and let them give you some free information. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be ashamed. If you were at a worldly concert and were invited on stage, you'd be running up there screaming, "Ah!" It's funny, I see people doing that. They get called on it. They come up here and they stand there. I say, forget you. Come on, you come up. No. God said, Jesus said, I stand at the door. And all I need you to do is open the door. How do, well, you said come in, now open the door. How do you open the door? Raise your hand. Say, I just invited him to come in. And we'll take it from there. Is there anyone here? Before we, it is communion Sunday. So before we partake in communion, is there anyone here? And you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's another way you stay intimate. When you're praying, Jude tells us when you pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit prays. Your understanding is unfruitful, but your spirit is praying. You build yourself up praying in the Most Holy Ghost. That's what he said. You build yourself up. How many of you would like to be built up? You do that by praying in the Holy Ghost. In order to pray in the Holy Ghost, you need to have received the gift. So is there anyone here and you want to receive the gift? I'm going to tell you, right, what I'm not going to ask you to come down here, but right where you are, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and start speaking in other tongues. Right where you are, right now. All I'm asking you to do is stand up so I'll know where you are, so I can look at you. Is there anyone here? Amen. Amen. Everybody say, I'm glad I came today.